is time is 8:41. I'm Howard Feldman. Sorry, we do seem to have a little bit of a few technical issues here. Linda says, good morning, Mayhem team. Checking in. It's so quiet, peaceful day and night, notwithstanding the pandemic. For now, I am happy with the stillness. How are you? I hate stillness, I have to say. Not good with it at all. Either way, Major David Katz, how are you doing?
How are you, Howard? How's Anati? How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you. How are you?
Can't complain. So far, so good. All well. No signs of anything. So pretty grateful for that.
Yeah. How often are you taking your temperature?
About once every 45 minutes.
Oh, no, you're not really. Are you really?
No, I'm not.
I'd actually love to hear from our listeners, 3451906189510019. Are you doing that sort of thing? You know, I'm a complete neurotic. I'm a massive hypochondriac, but even I'm not doing that. I kind of feel that, you know, I'll know if I've got it. I don't think I'll need to be told.
We suspected that something was up about a week ago when I had a little dry cough for about a week. Same with the wife.
Yes.
Nothing really developed from it. So, look, who knows? Maybe we had it recovered or still got it or something like that, but nothing's worsened at this stage of the game. So,
all right, so that's what's important.
We're not paranoid. We just locked down and
yeah, just be healthy. All right, Major David Katz, that is Military Monday. Can we please talk about the Army? I've read some reports saying their camouflage is so good that you can't see them anywhere. Others are taking photos of them, making people do, push-ups and squats and stuff through the streets of our country. What is going on with the Army?
I think we've got to be very careful about these social media inserts that you see. Some of them are dating back from years ago. As to the camouflage story, we're at maximum, we're an army of full-time people of about 70,000, of which only about 10,000 are the sharp end of it. So you can imagine how that sort of just gets absorbed into this huge country and this huge population. So, the army is going to deploy where it's needed. Where they see fit. So, if you don't see them, it means that they are somewhere else, but they're certainly out there on the streets. They are keeping law and order. And they are supporting, essential services, and you're going to see the importance of them in the coming weeks, because this is just the beginning of the beginning. And, certainly as things, get more intense, so the army is going to be providing more and more services, essential services, certainly on infrastructure and maintenance, and as you said, on law enforcement. So let's not panic about not seeing them on the streets. It's a good sign at this stage of the game. They're only going to be where they needed.
Right. And in terms of making people do these, I don't know, what are they doing? Why are they making people do froggy jumps and stuff? Are they there in a fitness capacity?
I can't even comment on that. You know what? I don't even know if that's true at the end of the day. Who knows when that clip, I have seen that clip, and who knows where it comes from at the end of the day. I mean, that's not what the army's about. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be at the beginning. The president said it. They're supposed to be a bit of a soft touch. With the army going in there and trying to get people to obey the...
Personally, I think that actually is a soft touch. You know, they're not...
Okay. One man's soft touch is another man's hard touch. Yeah, certainly. I mean, that could be.
I have to tell you, David, that
I should have been doing that in Hong Kong. I mean, things would have changed there pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I pay a lot of money for my personal trainer. Well, not at the moment because I can't go to him. But if the army is doing this for free, is that a terrible thing, I wonder?
I'm not even going to comment on that, Howard. No. I'll let you make all the comments on that at the end of the day.
Right. Exactly. Marion says there's plenty exercise programs on YouTube. I know, Marion, but I mean, wouldn't it be great if the army could come to train me? You know, it's like a whole different type of boot camp, isn't it? I think it's a wonderful initiative, David, and I don't know why you're so coy about it. I think it's fantastic that the Army is not only caring for our physical well-being in terms of us not getting COVID-19, but also that we remain healthy throughout this period. I think kudos to
the exercise program. I would suggest take a walk down the streets and see if you can't get them to exercise you. That would be something. Then you could report back firsthand on how good it is.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody would want to watch a YouTube video with me being frog march, or maybe they would actually frog march down the streets of Glen Hazel. Yes,
I think that could go viral. Actually, I think that could go viral, Howard. I don't know why you're knocking it. I think give it a go. It's something to see. I tell you.
Well, it would be, yes. I certainly think my family would pay to see that, but that is something completely different. But David, to be fair to these guys and the men and women of the South African Defence Force, this isn't what they trained for. I mean, obviously there must be some element of training around urban, I don't know, control or whatever it would be. But our level of expectation needs to be managed, surely.
No, absolutely. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the lockdown in the leafy suburbs of the northern suburbs of Johannesburg. I mean, it's a pretty easy thing. You've got these huge houses and you can entertain yourself for long periods of time. When you take a look at the township, you've got guys, 6 people, 7 people, 10 people occupying a little 16 square meter little shack. And you're going to try and enforce lockdown in areas like this? Let's get real. Let's get real about this at the end of the day. And then we've got all these expectations about the army going into Alexandra Township and enforcing lockdown. It's just impossible. It's an impossible situation to do. So they've got a huge task ahead of them. And, I don't see them being, used to enforce this type of lockdown, which is just not enforceable in these type of areas. I see them more in supporting essential services, like what's happening overseas in the United States. Now that the reservists are being called up, there are many doctors, nurses, those type of people amongst the reservists. And I see them going into that type of role. And certainly also providing infrastructure and maintenance to infrastructure. I mean, the Army's done that before. They've done a wonderful job down at the Vaal River. I got my wife corrected me. I kept on saying Vaal Dam last week. She said, no, it's not the Vaal Dam. It's the Vaal River. So down at the Vaal River system, they've done some incredible work over there. And these are the type of things that I would expect. This is where my expectations of what the Army can do for this country over the next coming weeks. Certainly, I don't think we can expect them to go in and deal a heavy hand to people that are in a terrible situation, and the situation is just going to get worse over the weeks to come. So let's give them a break and let's lower the expectations when it comes to that. As to the training of army members, certainly they train for war situations where they're expected to use maximum force, and here we are in a situation where you're expected to use minimum force. But they can adapt. That's what the army is all about. It adapts to certain situations. Certainly with the doing away of the commandos and the area defense type units, we've lost some of that capability of being able to deal with the public in your area. You know, we were recruited from the areas where we were used to police. That type of system's gone at this stage of the game, which is a pity. But I do believe the army is going to play a very, very important role in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, so and you think that role is probably going to be much more supportive rather than law enforcement?
Well, we'll have to see how it goes on the law enforcement front. I certainly think they can keep a lid on what could be a tinderbox in this country. Certainly if this lockdown is extended beyond, and all the indications are that it may be extended beyond then. I mean, just the economic situation is going to cause a lot of anxiety amongst the population. So, I mean, there's going to be a need for, enhanced law enforcement, and they certainly are a force multiplier to the police. So we can look to them for that, and they are there to keep a lid on the situation. So as the situation progresses, we're going to see more and more involvement from the army on many, many different fronts.
Yeah. Well, what's your view on the level of training? I'm not sure how much you can comment on, that you're able to comment on, but what is your thought about, perhaps providing the guys, the men and the women of the South African Defence Force with further skills around this issue. And do you think that this is going to become a trend around the world? Certainly, you know, I can't stand this word unprecedented. Zanatti uses it in every 5 minutes. Sorry, Zanatti. But it's true. But we all do, and I'm trying to limit my use of it, because I'm saying, you know, I'm using Zanatti as a thing, but actually it's me. And I'm saying it all the time. The reality is that this is a shift, and I believe that many of the things that are happening around this time are going to be semi-permanent shifts. What's your thought about the changing role of the army?
No, I don't disagree with you. I believe that as a society, never mind the army, but as a society, we are going to emerge from this different to the way we came in. And that's worldwide. We're going to have to rethink a hell of a lot of things. So on the military side, certainly we're going to have to rethink, what the army is all about and what our threats are, what our security threats are. We've spoken about this before on your show, about what the primary threat to South Africa is and the secondary threats. And at the moment, the military is performing in terms of the secondary threats. And we spoke about budget, is that the budget at the moment doesn't cover secondary threats. It only covers the primary threat. So when we go and deploy for our secondary purposes, we take away from the primary purpose, the budget from the primary purpose, because it's not funded any other way. So things like that are going to change. I do believe that there's going to be more concentration on the internal threats to South Africa rather than the external threats. And even before this outbreak came through, there were talks of reinvigorating a type of a home guard system within the military. And bringing back that rear area defense type of capability that we are missing at the moment. So certainly we're going to emerge differently militarily than what we looked like a couple of weeks back. Everything's changing. I think that's the watchword now, is that we need to change the way we think, to change the way we do our business, and also just in society, have a greater social conscience about what's going on out there.
Lindy says, please can you just tell Major David Katz that I was looking forward to seeing those SANDF vehicles on my street, but I haven't.
Look, I must say, I've said to you, when we've deployed to the urban areas in the past, we were always welcome, and people feel a sense of reassurance about seeing the army in the area. It's just one of those things.
It is interesting that, because I would have thought, and in fact I called it wrong, I thought because of the throwback prior 94, where the army was used as an enforcer to a large extent of the apartheid regime, I would have thought that it would come with a lot of negativity, but it doesn't seem to have at all. We seem to have that seems to be very much left in the past. So Nathalie, what's your experience with that, or your feeling around that?
So because of, you know, the times that we're living in, I do feel like it is reassuring to have them around. And as, you know, Major David Katz said, that in the leafy suburbs of Sandton in the north, we don't really need them, because I feel like people in the north, people in the suburbs already are used to isolating, because, I mean, who even knows who their neighbor is? And also, I think that we've gotten enough information about this to know how important social distancing is. However, I do worry about, the soldiers in the townships, because I feel like there may be a growing frustration as they try to social distance people. And then what happens when they realize that this is just not going to work? That's what I'm worried about, the growing frustration and what happens now when they clash. Because I feel like at some point we will get to a point where they will clash or almost clash with, you know, with the residents in the townships. And I just wonder how it is going to work.
Yeah, I think you're right, because when we look at some of the conversations we've had this morning, and we've got a few photos of where badly behaved runners in the suburbs. It's one bloke or two guys, and we can name them and shame them. Well, I don't know if we can name them, but because we don't know them. But we'll make a point of finding out who they are anyway. But the point is, it's one or two people. When you're talking about a situation that David was mentioning before, where you've got overcrowding conditions, where you've got very unpleasant places to be, you know, you complain about your brother, I complain about whatever I complain about. But the truth is that we are both very, very privileged. So, so the reality is that, that we can manage it, but it's a lot less, a lot greater challenge, in other areas where people are being asked to confine to tiny spaces. And that is much harder to manage. Mm.
I think Zanati puts her finger on it by saying that, the enforcement in the township areas is going to be very, very different from the enforcement in the leafy suburbs. I don't even know if it's possible. I think every little bit helps. And certainly the presence of the army, is going to make a difference in certain areas. I hope that it's not going to cause friction, and I hope it doesn't come to a situation where the army is put in a position where it's trying to enforce unenforceable type of stringent laws. There might have to be a rethink in those areas about what one can accomplish and the role of the army in those areas. So I wouldn't try and judge it too soon at this stage of the game. We have to see exactly what the objectives are. I think the objectives are going to be different. I see one thing also that the COVID has been brought in by travelers and that type of thing. So the lockdown in these areas, I mean, also helps. It's not really, the problem is not in the townships at this stage of the game. The problem is in the leafy suburbs where people have traveled and that type of thing. So the lockdown there, it's important at this stage of the game. Once it spreads down to the townships, I just don't think that the enforcement is going to look the same as it looks here up in the suburbs. And the army is going to have to adapt to different circumstances.
I've also seen this narrative also that because it affects the travelers, people in the townships don't think that they actually think that they are immune from the virus for some reason.
It's so interesting you say that because Kim Fine just sent the following message. Howard, I think the townships, a lot of people are uninformed. They don't understand the ramifications. The government needs to use media to inform people. And that's kind of what you're saying. Mm. You're saying that there's a lack of knowledge out there.
Yeah. And there was even a video that came out on ENCA of this man somewhere in the township. He was saying, no, this thing, there's no reason for us to, you know, practice all of these things. You know, this lockdown, this thing doesn't affect us. It's affecting all these foreigners that have traveled to South Africa. Mm. And it's absolutely, saying, and it's not even just about using media. I feel like the government should have actually physically gone to the townships to actually, because I mean, a lot of those people also don't have access to media and no one has explained properly exactly the effects of this virus.
I think you raise an important point, Zanati. Media is very, very important. And I know for a fact that in these townships, radio is very, very important. Mm-hmm. Radio, I think, is still one of the primary means of delivering news and information.
Communication.
And more needs to be done there, certainly, to educate people that this is all, it's a problem for all of South Africa, not just a select few living out there in the leafy suburbs. And what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks is that the reality will, one way or the other, whether it's delivered via radio or it's just delivered because social distancing hasn't been observed, everybody is going to learn that this is a very, very serious problem that affects absolutely every person. Nobody's immune. It's a common enemy that we all face, and that should galvanize us and not make us separate at the end of the day.
Yeah, and as Clive says, a case has been reported in Khayelitsha. That was reported last evening. And the consequences there, of course, is something that I am very, very concerned about. I'm sure we're all very concerned about, given the situation in Khayelitsha with the lack of facilities, of people being able to maintain safe social distances, etc. So it is a very, very big concern. I believe as well that is one of the main reasons that our government reacted so quickly, and kudos for them for doing so. I think that they were concerned that they wanted to stop it before it got into areas that are much more difficult to control. This is where we love and leave you, unfortunately. Major David Katz, thank you as always. Fascinating conversation. I hope you found it as interesting as Zanati and I did. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Tell your friends that we are broadcasting live during this time. We intend being here with you throughout the lockdown for company, for perspective, for entertainment, and just for each other. It is 9 o'clock. See you tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.